I'm Brian McCreath with Stefan Deneuve at Symphony Hall. It's great to have you back. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with me, Stefan.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
The concert this week includes two American pieces and the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony. And I want to ask you about especially Blue Cathedral by Jennifer Higdon and whether this is a piece that you've conducted before and why it is one of the most popular modern pieces on orchestra programs these days.
I did conduct this piece more than 6 or 7 times already. And indeed, this piece has been played more than 600 times by 290-something different orchestras. So it's an extremely successful piece. And the reason, I think, is that it has a wonderful, touching element in it. It's very moving. It has beautiful melodies, a fantastic structure. It's also unique. It has some sound effects that are really special. So all that together made actually this piece a very attractive one. And I believe that when a piece is really good and attractive, it will be played a lot. That's just the normal effect, and that's the case for this piece.
What I love about talking with you is that you maintain really active schedules on both sides of the Atlantic. I mean, usually conductors are more based in one place or another. But so my question about Blue Cathedral is, does it have this much traction in Europe as well as America?
It is played indeed now quite regularly in Europe too. It's certainly less well-known, and she's less well-known in Europe than she is in America, where she's really a star. But it's really coming, and I did this piece in Stuttgart, and they liked it. I just did it recently in Brussels with my new orchestra, the Brussels Philharmonic. I think I did it with the Danish radio, and the musicians in all of this orchestra were actually very enthusiastic. They thought that it was really a beautiful piece. Just as the first reaction, people say, oh, it's beautiful. And so I'm very pleased to program this piece again and again, because we need to establish some pieces are as new, you know, repertoire pieces. And this really, for me, can stand the test of time and become a repertoire piece.
And I know that that's actually a cause of yours. You've established a center in Brussels to make sure that new music is being curated effectively. So,
yes, I the fact is there are many, many, many premieres in the world, but not a lot of second or third or fourth. And I think it's very important now to make the right selection and to try to identify and promote the right pieces that can connect with the audience and become the classics of the future.
And then, so the next piece on the program is somewhat in this category, where the Violin Concerto by John Williams has only been played by the BSO one time. And that's kind of amazing, given John Williams and his relationship to the Pops and to the BSO. What inspired you to include that piece on this program?
I got to know John Williams, who I always loved, of course, since I'm a child. I loved his music, but I got to know the man thanks to Tanglewood. And I love this man so much that I wanted to really research and know more all what he has written. And it's a lot. He has written many, many movies, more than we think. We know, of course, the actually numerous big hits, but there are really a lot more just on the movie side. Also, I knew already some pieces that he wrote for the concert platform, but I discovered many more. And I literally fell in love with a recording of the Violin Concerto with Gil Shaham, with the BSO. I think the piece has a very special quality, and I think it's a very deep, and it reveals something from John Williams deeply. I feel it's a very intimate piece, and I really love this piece so much that I wanted to program it. So I did program it last year in Philadelphia, and I was able to repeat indeed this repertoire in Boston with the orchestra who recorded it with Gil. So it's a dream come true.
So I will now ask the most obvious question that any interviewer could ask you, which is, if someone knows John's film music, even some of it, not all of it, how does that compare to what you hear from the music in the Violin Concerto?
Indeed, it's interesting, because it is definitely his signature style, which is to be extremely lyrical. For me, he has first one incredible gift, which is the melodic gift. It's something so rare. So few composers just are able to write really successful melodies, and he did many in his career. And this concerto has a lot of fabulous melodies, but the overall language is certainly less tonal, and it's slightly modernistic in its choice of notes, of pitches. Also the way it's structured is very different, you know, because when you do a big format like a 30-minute concerto, you need to have a very complicated structure and work the thematic material in a certain way, which you cannot do in a movie. And so of course, this is a masterwork, and it's very rich in its organization of the different moments and different melodies. So I would say you can recognize definitely that that's the same man, and especially in this generous lyrical aspect. But people will certainly be surprised to see the complexity and the kind of modernity that John Williams put in this particular piece.
I am someone who almost thinks it's never a bad time to hear the Third Symphony by Saint-Saëns, because I just love the piece, and especially with this orchestra and this organ in this hall, it's spectacular. Is there any particular reason that you chose that piece along with the Williams and the Higdon for this concert?
Yes, there is a reason, because we first programmed the violin concerto. I wanted to do this piece with Gil, and then I added Jennifer Higdon Blue Cassette role, because both pieces share the same theme, which is they are inspired by the loss of a beloved, of a close person, and so they reflect about the mourning and the loss, and so I wanted to find somehow a piece in the second part which has this connection as well, which is somehow spiritual, but also have this journey going from death to light, if I may say, to life. The interesting thing is the Third Symphony of Saint-Saëns has a main melody in which the five first notes, ti-da-di-da-da-di-da, the five first notes are exactly the five first notes of the Dies Irae of the Latin Mass, I mean the Requiem. And so they are linked definitely to something dark and to death. But then, the power of music, changing only one note, the first note, the E flat, into an E natural, it becomes ti da di da da di. And then it's quoting a very famous French Ave Maria, the Ave Maria d'Arcadie. And Ave Maria is a Hail Mary, right? And so it's a symbol of life and light. And so it's interesting that changing only one note, you go from death to life and to light, and that's the miracle of music. And so somehow I think this piece was connecting beautifully to the first part.
I loved the piece already, and now I love it more. That's fantastic. I did not know that. I mean, I recognize those figures that you sing and how that changes, and yes, I get the light. I didn't make the connection to the Dies Irae or to the Ave Maria. That's fantastic. Thank you. I know that you've worked a lot with Gil. You even mentioned before that you had done the Williams with him, but just in the mail last week came your latest collaboration on record with Gil Shaham, the Bartok Second Concerto and Prokofiev that you recorded with him. Well, you did the Bartok, the Prokofiev was with the Knights, but tell me what your memory is of recording the Bartok with Gil.
It's a beautiful story, and what happened is we performed regularly together, and we did in Los Angeles a few years ago the Bartok Second Concerto, and the reviewer, the critic in the Los Angeles Times wrote that it was a good performance. He was happy, so that's good news, and that he wrote in the article that we had a special connection and we should record it. And I told Gil, I said, you know, he couldn't be more right, this reviewer, because indeed I would love to record this piece with you. You played so well. And so it was kind of a joke. But then I had an opportunity in Stuttgart with my orchestra, the Radio Orchestra of Stuttgart, to actually give him some time. And he was free. And so just we said, let's do it. And so we recorded it together. And he played brilliantly because he really has, I mean, a connection with this piece, which is incredible. He masters the incredible virtuosity of the piece, and he has many colors, and he's so generous. I mean, Gil is such an incredibly generous soul, and you feel it in every note he plays.
Well, and I'm going to give a little shout out to your orchestra. The Stuttgart Radio Orchestra sounds spectacular in this recording. I was just listening to it earlier today, so I appreciate your recollection of it, and that's a great story of how it came together. Stefan Denev, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me today.
That's my pleasure. Thank you. Have a good evening.